Ding dong, the wicked witch, the wicked witch. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. Welcome to the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast, the only Survivor podcast where I thought you said we were sweeping. So sweepy. I'm your host, Stephen Levine, with my co-host, Jared Sheldon.
God damn it.
Don't you love this? Aren't I just a rascal?
You're just a rascally little guy. God, this is a weird season.
I mean, we're off to a hot start.
We are. Listen, Russell Hance got voted out. This is the best season of all time. Nothing can go wrong from here.
And nothing can go wrong.
So far, that's where we're at.
All right.
I'm waiting for the crash. Philip probably should have gone home this episode, but I'm gonna be totally honest with you, Steven.
Go on.
Because of how hated this season is, I was thinking, like, in my mind, I was like, what crime
What's
does
the
Russell
worst...
Hance commit on this season?
What's the worst possible scenario?
Well, that's kind of what I was waiting for. Like, what's the thing that he did that changed the rules of the game and made him no longer, like, allowed to be a part of Survivor?
Fair. Like,
what?
I can see why your brain would go there.
And I'm shocked and relieved that that is not the case. Thank God.
Yeah, it could have got... Honestly, like, you come in and people are like, oh, I don't like this. It could go dark.
Listen, in Thailand, we were at a darker place at this point in the season, you know? And that's what I was worried that we may be leading up to, especially with, like, a couple seasons of, like, Russell Hance is kind of, like, handsy and gross. And I think somebody mentioned that, like, he does sex tourism in Thailand now or something. Or, you know, some Southeast Asian country, I think I remember an email saying. So I was like, what is the thing?
What's the thing? It what does he
out,
do?
No, he kind of goes out unceremoniously.
Yeah, he kind of just, I don't want to get into what we talk about.
Yeah,
in the
we'll
episode.
Talk about it later. But,
yeah.
Steven, how are you doing?
Good.
Where's your trip? You didn't say last episode.
Oh, going to Arizona. I'm going to go visit my grandma does winters in Arizona.
Smart.
Yeah, she long retired farm wife.
She's earned it.
She's earned it. Yes. And I think at first it was let's escape the cold. And now it's all of my friends are there.
Sure.
Which is good.
Por que no los dos.
Yeah. The one problem, though, I am going to have to deal with in some way. The way we have set up our travels is that we'll be driving on Sunday, which is the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So at Black Cat, we are picking, like, we're going through our finalists for our script submissions on Sunday. And then I went, wait, guys, that's the Super Bowl. We're still going to do it. But it's like, wow, yeah, nobody else in this company cares about
and nobody
sports but
cares.
Me.
No, I'm going to find a way.
You're driving down to Arizona?
No, not driving to Arizona. Driving. So the reason we're driving, we're going to fly down, visit my grandma, and then drive up to the Grand Canyon, because I've never been to the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
And there's also other, like, there's tons of parks. I've just never been to the southwest of the U.S.
Yeah, me either.
So see as much as we can see. I know it's kind of limiting our time, but I'm like, ugh. Grand Canyon's right there. We're going to go see national parks and then fly out of Vegas when we're all done.
In the desert?
No.
Oh, okay.
Do you have any... do you need me to put anything on a roulette wheel while I'm down there?
What?
I have one night in Vegas.
Oh, I see. Yeah, bet it all in black. Duh.
All right. Heard.
Put your whole life savings on it.
No.
What could go wrong,
specifically,
Steven?
Your money that you want me to throw on a roulette wheel?
That's our money.
No.
Yeah.
No. Is there anything in the week that you're looking forward to?
Volleyball starts up again.
Oh, all nice. Right.
Yeah.
Jared's ready to get the knees a little scraped up?
Yeah, I mean, more like, the more hurt, from just being over 30 and jumping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when I'm also taking a quarterstaff combat class, and so like I'm doing a lot of like bending in my knees for several hours anyway.
Gymnasium's not as forgiving as the sand on the beach.
Well, it isn't. Because it's you have a more solid surface to like press off of.
Uh-huh.
So
the upward momentum is easier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The downward momentum, not so much.
I haven't really, knock on wood, gotten injured in rec sports.
That's good.
Yeah, that's nice. The first year I did indoor, dude went up to like either spike or block a spike in like a gentle one, right? But he landed on his ankle wrong and like broke his ankle.
Huh.
Never saw that guy again.
Yeah, that's some shit that I would do.
Yep. Yeah, he went outside. He's like, I think I'm fine. Then he's like, no, I'm not fine. I mean, stayed through the rest of the game. He didn't play.
Yeah. That is exactly what I did when we were working together.
Yeah.
Ankle go sideways.
Yeah. Yeah. He landed on it pretty hard, though.
I mean, you saw my ankle. It was...
You got better in a few days, enough that you could at least run.
I may have forced it a little.
Okay, well.
I wanted to do that last day because my mom was in town.
Heard.
Yeah.
Idiot.
It's fine, I survived.
Yeah. You ran a marathon afterwards, it couldn't have been too bad.
Yeah.
I do want to say I...
Was not the same year, for the record.
Michaela and I watched the second episode of Bachelor in Paradise.
Mm, okay.
So we... You were there. Don't act like this is a surprise.
Sorry, I was continuing the conversation. For everyone else who wasn't
there. Yeah, fair enough.
Wow, tell me more, Jared.
Shut up. Shut up.
What happened?
They don't need to be two-hour episodes.
They don't.
The next one's only 90 minutes.
Oh, good.
So that's good. They did not introduce the Golden Bachelors.
Got it.
And Bachelorettes, which was annoying. But
you want to see the old people getting horny.
Yeah. Fucking horned up 70-year-olds with nothing to lose. Yeah. They don't have any social anxiety at that point in their lives. Are you kidding me? So I'm excited. I probably will watch the whole season with Michaela, and you will also be there sometimes, probably.
Okay.
I know it's not for you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you don't enjoy it. You don't like to get down in the muck like I do.
Nah. That's... Nah.
I was told by a friend of the show, Daria, today in class, that you were looking, or you asked them to find a connection between Survivor and MILF Manor.
Okay, hold on.
So we could do a bonus episode on it, Steven?
Daria specifically texted me and was like, you need to do one on MILF Manor. And I went, find me a loose, like the loosest of connections and we can make it happen. So get ready for that.
I think I will collapse into a cringe singularity if they manage to find one.
Like, yeah, for the record.
If I have to watch that show.
I have not been given the loosest of threads, so audience, you know what to do.
No, I shouldn't have said anything! Why did I do this? I don't want to watch Oedipus the reality TV show. Why are we here? Just to suffer?
I'm going to jump back two conversations. Jared, who are you cheering for in the Super Bowl?
Seahawks. Duh.
The Sam Darnold of it all.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And that's embarrassing for you, too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm here for it. We fired our GM, so...
Over that, probably.
Everyone knows what this is.
Yeah.
We fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean,
hindsight is 20/20, though. Like, he played really well last year, but it was an open question of, is that Kevin O'Connell? Or is it Sam Darnold? Because in the last game against the Lions, we made him look bad.
Yeah.
And we made him choke. And then he went in the playoffs against the Rams and he looked even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh no, does this guy have like the yips and can never get over that hump? And you guys were in a really hard spot.
We were in a really hard spot. And here's the thing though. Reports are coming out, like things are trickling out. And apparently it was the coach wanted Sam Darnold, the GM wanted JJ. Yeah, 1-9. And I'm sure it's more complicated than that, because
sure.
There's no way. He's not what was his name? The guy who is now dating like a 21-year-old.
Bill Belichick?
No, well, yes. But no.
What?
The one for the Vikings.
Zimmer.
Yeah.
Flim flam the Zim Zam.
Yeah. He despised Kirk Cousins.
Mm.
Like, before we even got him, hated Kirk Cousins. And I don't think there was malice behind it. I think it was a coach saw that this was better, but organization was like, we gotta go with the sunk cost, man.
Sure.
Yeah. Wow. So anyway, I'm cheering for the underdog, Sam Darnold. Hope he gets his Super Bowl.
Nice.
Hope he proves everyone wrong.
I mean, he already has just by getting there.
Yeah. And I love that for him.
He's the first quarterback of his class, including Josh Allen and a few other.
Lamar Jackson.
Can't remember who else in that 2018 class, but to make a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
In fucking insane.
Absolutely stacked class, and he gets there.
I mean, he was the number two overall pick.
No, I think, was he number two or was he number one? I think he was number one.
Hold, please. Yeah. Josh Rosen ain't going to make it anytime soon.
Sam Darnold, let's win the game. Sam Darnold, honor your name. Oh, I could get a Viking Sam Darnold jersey. Okay, no, I lied. He was the third overall pick of the 2018 draft.
Third, okay. Oh, that's right. Zach Wilson was number two.
Yeah, behind Baker Mayfield and Saquon Barkley.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Baker, I forgot. Number one, Cleveland.
Yeah, but yeah, other quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen.
Yeah, no, that's, I mentioned that he's not even in the NFL anymore.
He ain't doing it. Lamar Jackson all in that first round. Crazy. What a stack class. And Josh Rosen.
Yeah, right.
Okay, Jared. Like we said last time, we're stacking emails together, or stacking episodes together, so we don't have any emails.
Yeah, episode 5 is going to be 4 hours long.
yes, actually. So, I was scrounging my head. I always go video game trivia when we do these, and I was like, I want to find some sports trivia. But then I bailed, and I found something else. Jared, you're going to tell me, I'm going to give you a Super Smash Bros. Character.
Okay.
And you're going to tell me which game they were top tier in.
Top tier. Okay, not like when they were introduced. Got it. Okay.
Unless you want to do it that way.
No, you have the game. Let's play it.
Okay. I'll do this for top tier and for bottom tier. Like, absolute top tier, top tier.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Starting with Meta Knight.
Brawl.
Yeah, he's absolutely top tier in Brawl.
He was... I remember playing that game just like when it came out and being like, what the fuck is this?
Why is he so much? I can't handle it. Bayonetta.
Oh. Would that be the Wii U version?
Smash 4. Yes, very nice.
Okay.
All right, we're starting off hot. We're doing great. Pikachu.
Yeah, see, I knew you were going to fucking pull a hard one. N64?
Also correct.
Hell yeah. Let's go.
We're down to two. Fox.
Oh, that's Melee.
That's definitely Melee. Yeah. You're right. And I don't know if you're going to get this one. Steve.
Well, the only one he's been.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Crazy that Steve is top tier despite being in a DLC character, like the one of the last ones.
I wish I cared about Smash Bros.
Yeah, that's fair.
I had fun playing Melee so much growing up, and then, like, the Switch one is good, and yet I just don't care.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to do the same with the bottom tiers here. Are you ready?
I think this will be more fun. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So bottom tiers, I'm taking out, just for the record, Mii Fighters don't count.
Okay.
Because they are, in certain games, they're customizable.
Oh, sure.
Like, to a level that other characters aren't, so they don't rank them. So we will start with Jigglypuff.
When Jigglypuff was trash tier, I'm going to say Brawl. I think Jigglypuff is good in Melee.
That is incorrect.
Which one is it?
Jigglypuff is bottom tier in Smash 4.
Okay. Damn it.
I know, right? It's real tough on that one. All right.
Well, especially when it's one that's been in every game.
Correct. Yeah. Luigi.
Oh, that's Melee.
No.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He has some weirdness. I know, because like I've gotten some Melee TikToks before, and there's like, because it's fucking spaghetti code.
Yeah.
There's some shit where like one of his moves is completely randomized, whether or not it will be charged up at the start of the match or not, that makes him hard to play.
Uh-huh. He is B- in Melee.
Okay. Is it Brawl?
No.
Is it the current one?
No.
God damn. Wait, he was in the N64 one?
He was a hidden character in the N64 one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I played a lot of that one growing up, too.
And also, bottom tier.
Sure.
I did, too. And I always played as Pikachu. And now, that shows why.
I always played as Link.
Nice. All right. Let's go with Ganondorf.
Oh, that has to be Melee. He's too slow. Melee's a fast game.
He is C-plus tier in Melee.
What's the lowest tier?
F.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, these all have F tiers.
Got it. Okay. Well, I've guessed Melee every time and I've been wrong every fucking time. Then it's... Is it the most recent one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And.
Oh. And Brawl.
And Brawl. Yeah, he is bottom.
He's always kind of bad.
What a bummer.
Yeah, he's just Captain Falcon, but slow.
Which leaves us with Bowser.
Well, I mean, I've said Melee every time and I've been wrong, so it has to be Melee.
<It's> Melee. Hooray.
God damn it.
Since I have the list out, are there any that you're curious about? Like, any of your mains? Actually, let's go through your mains in this game.
Yeah, okay. Link for N64.
He was almost bottom tier. He was just one in front of Luigi.
Okay, that makes sense. Toon Link for... Or Young Link, I think it was, for Melee.
He is... C-.
Wow, I did not have a good idea of the power structure of this game when I was playing it.
Oh, wow. I was either a Marth or a Roy, and I didn't realize how vastly different.
Marth was another one for me, yeah.
Marth was a high one. He is second.
It's because he's fast.
Yeah, and Roy is a D. So, that's fun. Did you play Brawl?
I didn't play as much Brawl.
Okay.
Or 4, really. But I guess Sonic. I played Sonic.
Sonic, yes. Sonic was in there. He is a D.
God, I mean, bad taste.
You were one in front of my main. Which
and
was
Diddy
like...
Kong. I was Diddy Kong in... I don't remember if he was in Melee or if that was just in Brawl.
He was just in Brawl.
Okay, yeah.
Or he was in Brawl. Was he in 4? I don't remember. But yes, he was in A-plus on Brawl.
I knew Diddy was strong. And then...
Oh, yeah. Diddy is an S in 4.
Yeah, okay. And then in the most recent game, I played a lot of Duck Hunt.
Oh, interesting.
It was just fun.
I don't know where Duck Hunt
is. It's a gimmick character.
There's so many characters. I have to scroll through like a nightmare here. Where is Duck Hunt?
Especially with a bunch of people playing, and I would just be like hitting the exploding can at them.
Ding, 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 ding.
Well, then people think they have the angle, and you just hit it one more time into them, and they explode. So fun. So hard to get finishers with Duck Hunt.
C- on Duck Hunt.
Okay.
We Like Ike is... Where is Ike? Might be toward the bottom again. Is this good content? You're welcome. D.
This
hooray.
Is hardly even content, yeah. Steven.
Anyway. Hard-hitting Smash Brothers critique here.
From people who just kind of plays the game sometimes.
Yeah. Have you ever done, like, a Smash Bros. Tournament?
No.
I did once at, like, a local game store. I stomped, like, a 10-year-old and then got stomped by my next person.
No, and that's... So, my history with Smash Brothers, I fell off hard because I did... Like, I played with my, like, neighborhood friends growing up a lot. And then, you know, we switched to the Xbox. Like, I had a Wii, we played a little bit of Brawl, and then I sold it and bought an Xbox. And then I got to college, and my roommate, well, sorry, actually, community college, and, like, I got an apartment, and one of the guys I lived with, like, he played a lot of fighting games, and I was like, cool, you like Smash Bros., let's play Smash Bros. And after playing a few matches, I realized, I was like, wait, you're going easy on me, and he's like, yeah. And then he played me for real, and I didn't get to hit him. And I went, well, this isn't fun anymore.
Yeah.
And so then I transferred after 2 years and went to, like, a 4-year college, and my roommate... Same thing. He was like, he was playing Smash, and I came in. I'm like, oh, yeah, cool, let's play. And then I realized he was also a fucking monster. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm just not going to play these games anymore unless it's at a party because everyone else is a fucking freak beast.
Yeah. I've pretty consistently in fighting games, like, played enough to be better than most of my friends. And then don't play anymore because the cap scales so fast after that. Suddenly people can torch you without doing anything.
I don't want to learn the tech.
No.
Or like, I don't want to learn, like, I don't want to spend time grinding out like training room shit.
The amount of time I have ever spent in a fighting game training room is almost nothing.
Almost none. The only time I did was playing when I used to play a lot of Street Fighter VI, and you could be in the training room between matches, like while it was like the queue was going, so I could practice some things.
When we learned Street Fighter VI to like compete against each other, that's about it. Because I don't know Street Fighter and I don't spend the time to learn those things.
Street Fighter VI is a really good game, though.
Yeah.
I stand by that. I just don't play it that much.
We had fun. We played a lot for a short amount of time.
And we've picked up a couple times since then. But I got really into the online for like 2 months, too.
Yeah. Same idea. I got my ass handed to me a lot there.
I just learned enough. Like, I was playing Jury and I learned enough to be able to like get up to, I don't know what the ranks were, but decently high for me.
Nice.
But I got sick of fighting Ken over and over again, so I stopped playing.
All right. We should maybe talk about Survivor now.
All right.
Cool. Bumper.
All right. So this episode came out on March 9th of 2011. A couple things that happened the week between episodes. Charlie Sheen is fired from 2 and a Half Men.
Okay. Yeah, that happened.
I remember that being a thing. Something about, I think, about drug use.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And like, I don't know. He did. I remember it was because he did bad stuff. I don't remember what it was.
I mean, he's always been kind of like a guy that you keep an arm's length away because you're like, he might explode and I don't know when.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Keeping him acting around a child makes me a little concerned at all times.
Sure, yeah. Space Shuttle Discovery makes its final landing after 39 flights. That was the other thing.
Cool.
Spice. The number one song is still Born This Way by Lady Gaga. Forgot to mention that last episode. The top five movies are Beastly, Unknown, Hall Pass, The Adjustment Bureau, and the one we're going to talk about, Steven, Rango.
Oh.
Are you familiar with Rango?
I know that it's Johnny Depp in an animated movie about, like, a cowboy lizard? No, what is he? He's a
chameleon, I think.
Chameleon, yeah. That sounds right.
Yep, here it is. A chameleon, Johnny Depp, who has lived as a sheltered family pet, finds himself in the grip of an identity crisis. Rango wonders how to stand out when it is his nature to blend in. When he accidentally winds up in a frontier town called Dirt, he takes the first step on a transformational journey as the town's new sheriff. Though at first, Rango only role plays, a series of thrilling situations and outrageous encounters forces him to become a real hero.
He's a real boy.
What do you think this rating on Rotten Tomatoes, Steven?
I actually think that this is a better movie than people's. Like, it's not well held up to this time, but I think people liked it. The people who saw it liked it. So I'm going to go a critic score of 80, an audience score of 76.
You're pretty close. You're right in line with the idea of it. Critic score of 88, audience of 70.
Okay,
so, yeah. Right around there. The consensus being, Rango is a smart, giddily creative burst of beautifully animated entertainment, and Johnny Depp gives a colorful vocal performance as a household pet in an unfamiliar world. Just a really long way to say, it's good.
Johnny Depp coming off of movies upon movies in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes.
Goes, I'm going to be an animated lizard.
Listen, once you've done too many movies that people are like burnt out of your face, you can always get a job in voice acting.
Hell yeah. I have a face for voice acting.
I sure do.
Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Let's get into the episode. Episode 4, Don't You Work For Me. So the episode starts out glazing Russell one last time, doing, they did what nobody else had done before, voted out Russell.
Yeah.
Aren't you just happy that we can move forward?
I am genuinely thrilled. Yes, actually. And I was so nervous when, I'm jumping ahead, but when he's like, no, I'm not going to go out like that. I was like, what fucking bullshit is the show about to pull to like twist the rules to keep this fucker in the game?
You see, I have the Survivor rule book here, and in paragraph 5, subsection 3, It says Russell cannot go home.
It might as fucking well, it feels like sometimes. Yeah, I was glad about that. This is in the recap. This was in like previous episode. They have it, the recap of this one. Forgot to talk about that fuck ass confessional where Ralph is. It's the same content that we've seen from Ralph of like, it's not his game, it's mine. But it's through a hole in a log with Ralph in the distance.
We're getting RT Jared.
What is this?
Come on. Everyone wants to see it.
But yeah, even with Russell gone, it's still about him. With him getting voted out, it's still about him.
Because he's still here.
Yeah.
For now.
But even the next time on of this episode still made it about Russell.
It did glaze Russell, and it's shocking. I don't know how they're going to...
He taught his girls well.
How do you keep doing this?
I don't know.
All right. Then we start at Redussel Island.
Canon for this one episode.
I'm going to steer into it. At Redussel Island, Matt is asleep when Russell rocks up and is like, oh, crazy, man. I got blindsided by Rob and now I'm bunkmates with Russell.
That must be a bizarre experience as a fan of Survivor.
There are two famous people on this season. I have now been close to both of them.
One of them too physically close.
Oh, yes.
Because you know he smells bad. We've heard it in two seasons that Russell smells bad.
You're right.
And he's got a rash.
However, this is early. So maybe we got him out fast enough that he's less smelly.
It's too many days. This is what day, like, if they're doing every 3 days, then it's day 10 to 12. Like, no.
Yeah.
He's still smelly.
And Russell goes through the whole rigmarole of, oh, they told me it was going to be the girl. Francesca would have been easier to beat, but he's still a rookie. I'll get him.
I would just like to point out that we did not get hardly any content of Francesca or Matt when they were at Redemption Island.
Okay, so this is inherently a problem, and I know that we probably would have talked about it later, if not now. If you have a season where you have two tribes and Redemption Island, like this separate thing going on, and it's only 45-minute episodes, you're going to struggle to fit some content in there.
Well, and it's the same thing that they kind of struggled with Exile Island, which is like a singular person by themselves does not always great TV make. And sometimes we've seen exceptions, especially like when the weather's really bad or looking for idols, but there's nothing for them to do.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean they're not going to give Russell, they're not going to squeeze every single second of TV out of him being on that Redemption Island that they can. And I'm sure they were really fucking bummed that he lost this challenge. But I don't suspect we'll be getting a lot of the people at Redemption Island when it's not challenge time.
Yeah, especially because we have to rope that challenge in there.
Yeah.
It's important. It's pivotal to the plot. So we can't just skip that by any means. Mm-hmm. So at least two challenges, sometimes three challenges.
Oh, yeah, we're going up to three challenges. I have done a 180, by the way. I don't remember. I didn't really talk about it this season. I like the two challenges, or the reward and immunity in one for the early game. And
I think
so far, this season's been edited fairly well in terms of the two tribes getting... Like, I know a lot about both tribes.
Yes.
I don't know a lot about, like, every single individual person, but we've gotten good looks at both tribes and how they're running and sort of their structure and enough of them.
Yeah, there's a couple ladies that I really haven't heard much from thus far. True. And I
do think that's a byproduct of having Philip and Russell.
Yeah.
Like, and Boston Rob, of course, but, like... They have those cameras pointed at Philip every fucking second they can, too.
I do also have to double take, and I know they don't look even remotely alike, but David and... David and...
Oh, the Iraq war veteran guy?
Yes. Damn it. I have been also... Every time I see him come on the screen, David and Matt on Zapatera, I keep... confusing them in my brain.
They had two mats?
Yeah, they do have two mats.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Yeah. Exactly. That's see where I'm at?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's still room to be filling out the gaps here.
Yes, there are people that we've not heard from, but that as much. I mean, even Stephanie, like, overshadows, like, Kristen, I think her name. No, not Kristen. Is that her name? Krista. yeah, overshadows Krista a bit. But I also think that's by design. I think Krista's been letting Stephanie be the lightning rod of shit and just kind of hanging back.
Hard not to do that at this point.
Yeah.
You let Stephanie just kind of go off and take the heat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Smart of her.
Yeah. So we start over at Ometepe and Philip up in the morning sweeping with his palm fronds while everyone else is in the shelter.
What's even the point of sweeping?
People do this every season, and it's mostly just keep, like, the sticks and things out. But
sure.
Why do you have to do it first thing in the morning, man?
It's the dirt. You're sweeping dirt.
I think it's the military and him. He gets up, he has to do something, like, right away.
And that's why Matt and the other tribe is doing it, right?
It's not showing it.
Can we just put Philip and Matt, like, can they just hang out at Redemption Island for a little while, just talk? I just want to see Matt's reaction to Philip.
Everyone is having such strong reactions to Philip at this point. One,
can you not?
Yeah. He's keeping you up in this moment, but two, my God, those pink shorts, pink underwear.
Does he not have other clothes?
He has pants, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, he needs to be wearing them. I mean, they have to blur his balls at one point.
They do. Yeah, he's like, Rob says, who comes on Survivor with pink tighty whities? Inherently, not tighty whities.
Tighty pinkies. I don't like the sound of that.
I don't like that either. Hey, come here, I'll show you my tighty pinky.
Yeah. And then we get Philip's point of view.
Yeah.
Where he's like, they don't know what to make of me.
They don't understand me. They don't know if I'm a school teacher or if I'm a criminal.
Okay.
Neither of those things.
Weird to juxtapose those two things when criminal or cop was right there.
Mm-hmm.
But okay.
So what do I need to do? I need to go undercover.
Yeah. But then he changes nothing? So what does going undercover mean?
So here's, and who knows if this was actually what he was talking about. Here's my through line for this episode on the undercover.
Okay.
He says this. He then goes and watches the duel and then says, all right, now I got to work the ins and outs and try to convince Rob that this is the best play to keep me and Christina safe.
But he never actually gave them a secondary target that we saw either.
He did not.
So that
he basically just said, hey, can we spare Christina?
Then who? And like, let's just lay out Philip's whole episode here real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
So sweeps the camp and annoys everybody, sure, whatever. And from the vibes of that goes, okay, I need to become a different person. I need to go undercover and pretend I'm somebody else.
Uh-huh.
Proceeds to not do that.
Correct.
Goes to Redemption Island, watches the duel. Gets a lot of information because of what we're going to talk about in a minute with Russell going home and spewing everything.
Uh-huh.
Tells Christina, no, let's keep that information close to the chest. Let's not tell him anything until the merge. Let's hold that information. Then goes to Boston Robin Grant and says, I have this information. And they go, great, will you tell me? And he goes, no. Will you spare Christina? Again, not giving a second target. They go, no, dude, you're an alliance.
No, why
tell
would
us.
I do that?
So he tells them. I guess they say maybe they'll spare her or whatever, or like it would help her position,
but
whatever.
He caves immediately.
Yeah, caves under zero pressure. Then goes to the challenge. They lose the challenge. Comes back and says, if Boston Rob votes for Christina like he says he wants to, then he's not a man of his word, and I might actually be in danger, so I need to make a stink at Tribal. Then goes after Christina in Tribal, which partially because she went after him.
Correct.
But who knows how late that was into the Tribal.
Uh-huh.
And then proceeds to talk about his military service, of which we didn't know he had any. He had said he worked for the government, not the military, in which he was a sanitation officer, which no shame, and we'll get in more of that later, refuses to elaborate any of that and votes for Christina. And then spends a lot of the time in between telling us, this is Survivor. I'm playing the game of Survivor.
He's doing something. Is it Survivor? Who knows?
I know I've joked about, like, it's our first AI contestant a bunch of times for a bunch of people. He's the first AI contestant circa 2022.
Uh-huh.
Like, when the AI was, like, Will Smith eating like spaghetti and his mouth is like unhinging and doing all of that. Philip is a Survivor contestant equivalent of when you put an English sentence into Google Translate to like Spanish, and then you've got Spanish and go to Lithuanian, then Lithuanian to Japanese, and you just keep translating it back till you get to English, and the original sentence doesn't make any sense anymore.
It's his dry mouth, you see.
Anyway, we can move on
now.
Okay.
We flip over to Zapatera, and Stephanie and Krista are just like, yeah, I hope Russell kills it at Redemption Island, and we just have to go find the idol now, huh?
Welp.
So Ralph then takes this moment to share the fact that he has the idol.
But with not with Stephanie.
Right,
and
with not those
Krista.
Two. Yeah. Basically to put his group at ease.
But also, I guess he learned a lesson. I guess he learned the lesson from Tribal that, like, oh no, we split votes and it almost... I mean, I guess it worked, but, like, I don't know, maybe something spooked him and he decided now's the time to tell him you should have done it, like, before you voted for Russell so that there wasn't a risk, but
yeah, if
okay.
You were gonna cave, then you might as well just do it right at the beginning.
Yeah, this is the worst of both worlds. Mm-hmm. And he didn't even make it seem like, look what I found today. He was like, look what I've had.
Yeah.
It's the worst of every possible version.
Yeah, but now he's got them captured, and I told you I got it under control.
You could have made it way easier to tell people that you had it under control, but uh-huh. Okay, bud.
Yeah, and everyone just kind of has this moment of, oh, Russell could come back. He could go on a hot streak and win all of these challenges.
Somehow, Russell returned.
But if he does come back, says David, we have the idol now, and we have the power, so we can just send him right back.
And, like, admittedly, if I'm Ralph, like, maybe I do want Russell to win a couple of those challenges because they can't blindside me if I'm holding the idol and they're worried about Russell coming back.
Mm-hmm. We get the notes about the duel. Philip gets the note and reads it out loud. Mispronounces Rochambeau. If you've never heard the term, then
sure.
I get it.
I didn't ask it last episode because it wasn't important. They drew rocks. I was like, were they just allowed to trade rocks? And this one explicitly says, like, draw rocks, do rock, paper, scissors, Rochambeau,
uh-huh.
Just pick two people, whatever. I
think this is fine.
The only reason why I'm even bringing it up at all is, like, this creates a situation where if you're in the minority of your tribe, you have, and it's just like a, yeah, sure, do whatever. Like, you have less of a voice of something that could maybe be helpful. I mean, it was helpful for the people who went to this one, that's for sure.
Yeah, but it seems that nobody's really fighting for positions in these.
Yeah.
Like, both tribes are like, yeah, you can go if you want.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not really fighting to make myself go watch a challenge.
That's true. Yeah, nobody really seems to care. And to be fair, there isn't a lot of reason to.
Yeah. And both sides do it in different ways. The two on one side are the two that are at the bottom and, I don't know, looking for anything to change that. The two on the other side are at the top and just want to keep vibes and eyes on everything.
Well, if I'm on the bottom, I want to go to see what these duels are.
Uh-huh. Agreed.
But I think Ralph and who was the other person that went? I forgot her name.
Sarita.
Sarita. I think they just went because they wanted to watch Russell lose. They just went out of spite.
Actually, yes, because that's exactly what Sarita said.
Yep, that's right. She does.
Yep. So we get to the duel, and as we've seen this one before, we stack a series of blocks on a multi-level platform. We have to avoid the trip lines, and if you touch those trip lines, it could shake your whole thing, maybe knock some of your boards down. And essentially, you're lining them up like dominoes so that you can push it in a single go and knock them all down, and then knock a ball, which will destroy a tile.
We've seen this challenge before.
Yes.
I can't remember if it was Samoa or Gabon.
I can't remember either.
If it was Samoa, come on, show, what are you doing?
Come on.
Yeah, giving it to Russell. He didn't win, but you gave him a challenge he's already done before. Mm-hmm.
Well, despite that, we see both contestants, both Matt and Russell, get one go at this where they fail. But then Matt gets it the second time, and he was faster.
It's dramatic.
It is dramatic. Yeah. Oh, this challenge, nothing but drama. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, you did it, but did you do it right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a good challenge on its face, too.
It's a good challenge, and it's got a learning curve to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Matt wins, and we gather ourselves. We have our closing ceremony.
I didn't think Russell would cry.
Yeah. Russell breaks down in tears.
Yeah. He has a very human moment, which he then immediately shits on by being Russell.
To be fair, and not that I'm defending Russell.
Let it be on the record that Steven is a big Russell Hantz fan.
The one who interjected on the moment was Ralph.
Mm.
Like, we could have just let Russell have his thing and be like,
Yeah, I mean...
Russell gassed him up.
I was going to say, Russell, like, let's not pretend that Russell was just like, oh, I have big feelings about it. Like, yeah. Russell was like, I'm a Hall of Fame quarterback and I'm playing with peewee people. They all suck.
And someone with good strategy would sit there and be like, what a loser. But Ralph is not that man.
No.
And he jumps in and he's like, hey, you think you're so smart? Then why didn't you find the idol like I did?
Oh.
Oh, he found the idol.
Just yell that out to the other tribe. Okay.
Yeah, I'll show it to you here in my bag. And Sarita's like, no, don't do that. Why are you doing that?
The other tribe is right over there.
The point where Ralph has to like back it down. I lied. I didn't actually have it.
It's such a bad lie.
It's a bad lie. And Russell knows it. Everyone in the room knows it. They're like, you see? Now you see who's in charge? Who is the idol? Good luck, other tribe.
Yep.
It's so funny. Anything else you want to say about Russell?
Well, he says he'll never play again.
Does he say that?
Yeah, he says, like, in his post-game confessional, he says, like, I'm done with Survivor. I've proven all I need to prove to my family, to myself. I'll never play again.
Mm. Okay. How do you think he does on Future Survivor?
I think he's always an early boot. Why would you keep him around? He's dangerous. You can't trust him, and he's unlikable.
Yeah.
Like, what is the advantage? And he, like, will undermine your tribe if he needs to. Like, what is the advantage of keeping him around once you know who he is?
He's unlikable.
Yeah, I think he's unlikable.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, okay.
That's the advantage of keeping him around.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He's a goat of a different kind.
Jeff does some glazing of him, too, before he leaves, where he's like, Russell, your impressive run, you've left it all out here. Nobody's bared their soul more. I'm like, shut up, Jeff.
Yeah.
I will say, like, Russell... As much as I will shit on him, and he seems like kind of a dick. No, he doesn't seem like kind of a dick. He seems like a massive dick. He does genuinely seem to love the game of Survivor.
Oh, he cares about Survivor probably more than anyone else who has played Survivor.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Toxic care.
That's why he offered $1 million so that he could be the sole survivor, regardless of what happens.
You can't buy a title like that.
Correct.
Anyway, does he keep to his word? Does he not come back?
So this is the end of Russell's...
Thank God.
American Survivor.
Oh.
He plays a future season of Survivor Australia, Champions versus Contenders in 2018.
Okay.
So I will not tell you how he does, just in case we want to...
Sure. Do you want to tell me about Russell Hantz outside of the game since this season?
I mean, I feel like we've talked about a lot of it.
Sure.
He kind of goes, not off the deep end, but he's a staunch Republican. He's
shocking. He's just a bitter guy. He's just a doing bitter sex guy. Tourism through the southeast of Asia.
I think he has a podcast. I think he...
Of course he does. All the worst people have podcasts.
Jared?
That was intentional.
I know. Go on. Let's see. Outside of the game.
I'm sure people will write in about it if you don't want to dig right now.
Where is Russell Hantz, Survivor's biggest villain today? Yeah, I mean, he every once in a while he pops up, he makes videos, and you're like, oh, yeah, that guy. Mm-hmm. But he's basically like, you think I'm going to think about Survivor buffs when I'm on my deathbed? No, I don't care. It's like when a loved one passes away and you're holding on to those items because you're holding on, and I get it, but eventually you have to let go. I think he still loves it, but he's just He knows what his legacy is, and he knows he's a person. And
I wonder if he didn't come back. I wonder if American Survivor wanted him back, probably. And if they did, if he didn't play, because he's like, I'm just going to get voted out first again.
Yeah, I think that's why future casting doesn't bring him back, is in, like, there's an article about how he goes off on the cast of 50 because, like, I don't know, they're... Survivor has an opportunity to redeem themselves and have an amazing season. And what do? The same thing Disney is doing, burning down their own house. All we could do is watch it burn. Very,
yeah,
very boomer Republican coded.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So doesn't like the diversity.
Shocking.
That could be reading too much into it. Anyway, I think if you want to send in things about Russell that we should read, send them.
Sure. Or don't. We can move on from Russell forever.
Hooray. All right. Also, Christina and Philip had so much information just sitting there, and they squander all of it.
Philip squanders all of it, let's be real.
Correct. Go over to Ometepe, and boy, beach day.
Yeah, I kind of knew Boston Rob was going to find the Idols episode from the recap, when they really spent a lot of time highlighting how Boston Rob found the clue and how much he wanted the idol. Like,
yeah. Yeah, Rob, again, sets it up. I got to find this idol. So what are we going to do? We're going to have the royal treatment. We're going to play this game. We're going to go out. We're going to enjoy the beach. Oh, but also my stomach's feeling a little funky.
I think what makes Boston Rob such good TV is that even though I knew that he was going to find the idol because of this, because of the recap, the how is more interesting than the what with him. Almost always.
Oh, this how was delightful.
Yeah, this whole fucking plan and like this beach day game, and then he's smart enough to be like, oh, I mean, I don't think it's the most creative excuse in the book. It does the job. It's not revolutionary. It does the job. But he'd be like, okay, it's 15 minutes. Like, I'm running out of time. Like, I need to find this or I need to head back.
Yep.
Good game sense.
Good game sense. Yeah. He tells people he's constipated, but then nothing comes of it. They go down the beach. They set up everything. He goes, okay, yeah, now's the time. I gotta go try this shit. And walks back into the jungle directly behind them. Immediate sprint the other direction. I gotta check all these trees. This clue that you guys gave me sucks.
Yeah, he said that a few times. He wants production to know this was a bad clue, and we don't get to see it.
And you know what? The fact that it's not immediately decipherable from the first clue, I'm okay with it.
That is a plus. And it wasn't immediately decipherable from the first clue. And yet, they have found an idol in 3 of 4 episodes thus far.
Correct.
So maybe they need to be better at their hiding places, not just their clues.
Valid. Yeah, he searches and he searches and he searches and he says, I've been gone for 15 minutes, but in the 38th or the 39th tree out of 40 trees that we have in our camp, I found the idol. Hooray. So then he sprints back the other direction, idol in hand, and he walks up the beach and they're like, do you feel better? I don't want to talk about it.
It's pretty good.
Solid acting from a man, not an actor.
Correct. But he's charming and funny a lot of the time, so no matter what he says in this context, you'll believe it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's not out of character.
Correct. At Zapatera, there's just the aftershocks of Russell going home, and people are delighted, except for Stephanie and Krista.
Well, they're dancing on his grave.
They are dancing on his grave.
What you're missing is that they come back and say, like, Russell got
defeated. He cried hysterically.
Yeah. And I guess I could see the two of them, especially knowing that their horses hitched to that wagon a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of dancing on the two of theirs' graves as well.
Also true.
But you guys, you picked a bad horse.
Yeah.
And the argument of, they say that, like, synergy and chemistry is more important than numbers. And, like, I totally agree with them. I actually really like the Zapatera tribe quite a bit.
Okay.
Especially like that core six. Maybe Stephanie can come back to, you know, out of the Russell shadow and be entertaining. Krista, I don't know anything about. She got a confessional this episode, but I haven't heard her speak besides that.
Nah. Yeah. Mike, I believe, is the one who says he was breaking down our synergy.
Yeah.
Very corporate word.
Sure.
And Steph's like, in a game of numbers, you don't need synergy. That's not the important thing.
The problem is Russell's not a number. Like, he's a wild card. He's going to do whatever he wants. And so, like, I would rather have one less person in the game. I know I can't work with Russell, so why would I keep him when I could work with somebody else? Mm-hmm.
I don't think either argument is necessarily the most genuine in that I need numbers. And like, of course you do. He was one of your numbers.
Yeah.
And the other guy, we need synergy. Of course you do. That guy sucks.
No, but like Russell's a true tribe cancer, and tribe cancers can completely upend your tribe.
Yeah. Okay. Ometepe, Phil and Christina come back, and Phil says, all right.
This is the thing I talked about of like the...
We're going to say who won, but we're not going to say who is the idol, and I'm going to hold it and use it as like, I don't know, a bribe? What is this?
Who's to fucking
blackmail?
Say? Yeah, blackmail is what Christina calls it.
Yeah.
And Christina's like, I'm just going to let this guy dig his own grave.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. She gets voted out. But I do think that it was her best play.
It was a good play. And I think it almost worked. But then she didn't let him dig his grave. She said, hey, can I also have this shovel?
I think Boston Rob just has too tight of a control on the rest of the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm not worried about Philip. Philip's a clown.
Mm-hmm.
But like Christina's smart. And I'm going to get rid of the threat, and I don't blame him.
And truly, if you're analyzing your threat level, knowing that and knowing that, hey, I look like a problem right now, talking about the idol and like making it a problem for people is the last thing that you need to be doing.
True.
Just let Philip screw up.
Yeah. Yeah, she screwed up a little bit there.
And she can't. She can't help herself. So, yeah, Philip goes up to Boston Rob and says, all right, if I tell you the things by name, will you do something for Christina? It's like, what? No.
Why?
Don't you work for me, dumbass? Yeah. And
I want to say, too, because I haven't talked about it. There are some of the ways that, like, you know, don't you work for me, and some of the ways that, like, any other black contestant, I would almost feel a little uncomfortable with the way that they, like, Philip would be treated, like if it was anybody that wasn't Philip. But like every single way Philip is treated, Philip as a person has brought upon himself and kind of deserves.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Like, because the personality of Philip is so large, it defies bias. It is just who it is, just how you have to interact with Philip, it would seem.
I think any person thrown into that into that camp would struggle to be with him at that moment. All right. And yeah, Grant caps it off with no trust at all after this. Like, Phil's got to go. Go to the immunity challenge.
Can we actually just, for a second, sure. Like, Boston Rob's very smart in knowing that Christina's more of a threat than Philip. I mean, it's not the craziest thing in the world, but if you just, like, look at them side by side, Christina's not a physical threat in any way.
No.
But, of course, Philip is Philip.
Okay. Philip is Philip. Yeah. At the immunity challenge, we're really leaning into the corporate shenanigans here.
Yeah.
It's a whole challenge brought to you by Craftsman, and we are testing. You've had these tools this entire time. Now let's test your ability with them.
It's a weird, because like when they've done these types of challenges in the past, it's usually to win the tools.
Yeah.
But they've just had them.
They've had them, and now they have to put them to work.
Okay.
So you have to use a crowbar to get a shovel, use a shovel to get a hatchet, use a hatchet to get a saw, use a saw to get planks, and then use a hammer to hammer 3 nails.
The Survivor equivalent of, like, you start with a paperclip and you try to get up to $1 million just by trading.
Uh-huh. It's
fine.
I didn't like it.
I didn't really either.
I
would say, like, functionally, it is a totally fine, if not a little lackluster, challenge.
Yes.
But the getting the tools felt dumb.
Uh-huh.
That was the part of it for me.
Yeah. And I also think it was out of order. Because the hammering the nails, while visually impressive, was so easy.
Yeah.
that it does not make for a good finale.
It was the untying the hammer that was supposed to be, but that you're right, that should have been earlier.
Yeah. So I think that
the catch-up mechanic is the stairs.
The catch-up mechanic is the stairs. Yeah. And the stairs should have been the last thing, in my opinion.
I agree. But wouldn't have changed the result.
Nope. And if you win this, you also get barbecue supplies from Sears and barbecue and food. Hooray.
That's a good reward.
Yeah. Krista sits for Zapatera, and Zapatera was in the lead for most of this.
It was pretty close when, like, Grant is a monster.
Grant,
holy shit.
Shows why he was a wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, that dude is fast. He's the only one who really made up ground. Boston Rob, I guess, made up a little bit of ground, too, like, on the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
But these tribes aren't balanced.
No. It was really funny seeing Stephanie, like, shouting back at her tribe while she's trying to untie the hammer. Yeah. Man, she does not like them at all at this point.
In Stephanie's defense, the things they were shouting at her were like, focus. Like,
shut up. What do you think
what helps
I'm doing?
Focus? Not yelling at me.
Yeah.
And Mike and Steve on the sawing for Zapatera. Mm. Fucking insane, mm-hmm. dude.
They do a great job. I don't like sawing. I think sawing is just miserable.
Give me a power
manual
sawing,
one of the worst things that you could do. Mm-hmm. That's why I think it's so impressive watching people do those like lumberjack games.
Yeah. It was fun to watch Ralph go at the wood with the axe too.
Yeah.
It reminded me of, who was it? It was one of the contestants from Panama. The guy who stole the wine, who was the Yale graduate who pretended or like kind of like was playing like I'm kind of the big mean guy.
I should know this, but I don't remember.
All right. Well, anyway, reminded of like in the challenge of throwing the fish where he's like bop, 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 on the fish head.
That's right. Yes. God, that fish head was funny.
Anyway.
Yeah. Zapatera wins again and Ralph gets up while being encouraged to get up and crow on the table.
The chicken dance.
They call it crow. It's the... He's making chicken noises.
Yeah.
He is like the worst version of a grown-up Peter Pan.
Sure.
Like, what happens if Peter Pan leaves Neverland and then...
lives in Appalachia.
Yeah, and gets raised in the middle of nowhere by a family of moonshiners.
I was literally going to say, it makes some moonshine.
good stuff. Okay, we go over there, we watch them eat food. Mike is really excited about this food.
He's been horny for food and not for sex, he tells us.
Haven't been thinking about sex in 2 weeks, but food? Yes, I've been thinking about that a lot.
Nobody asked you about sex. What do you mean? Like, why are you conflating these two things?
For someone we haven't got a whole lot of personality shots about, I think this is a really funny one-liner.
It was funny.
Yeah, and Ralph says, my hands have been so dirty this entire time, but you can bet they're clean now. Hell, I'll lick anybody else's fingers if you want at this point.
He tries to, somebody had mustard on their nose and he was like, was it
Steve?
I think it was Steve.
I think it was Steve.
And he was like, let me lick it. You can't reach it. And like, then he wipes his nose. He goes, no, you're wasting it.
Can you just imagine the homoeroticism of Ralph licking mustard off of Steve's face?
I don't think it would have been homoerotic at all. I don't think there would have been anything sexual about the way that he did it.
I think there would have been fan fiction up the wazoo.
I think it would have been like a fucking wolf just eating, like licking a salt stick or something. These double episode days are rare and always unhinged.
They're always very unhinged. Here we are. We started at Smash Bros. Now we're here. We go over to Ometepe and Philip, who loves calling these tribe meetings.
These fucking post-challenge huddles are killing me because he just says uninspiring gobbledygook and then goes, anyone else got anything to say? And then everyone kind of meanders off in silence.
Nothing. All right. Bye. And Rob's like, man, he just won't shut up. And it's, everyone can feel it. There's just utter malice that's palpable through the camp right now.
I think this is a mistake from Boston Rob to die on this hill to get out Christina instead of Philip.
Really?
To be honest. I think Philip has become a tribe cancer that is like festered long enough that is becoming a problem for your tribe. I don't think it's been a problem in the it's been a problem, but not like the biggest one.
Yep.
In the previous episodes. I think at this point, everyone is out of patience, and Boston Rob forcing this vote through could blow up in his face later.
Trust me, I'm Boston Rob. We need to keep this man for no good reason.
Well, and then next time on, says like, everyone hates Philip. Maybe that's why we should keep him around. And I'm like, dude, at some point, people are going to start like questioning you and bailing from you.
Yeah, why is this man trying so hard to keep this awful, awful human around?
Right, and like, who else on your tribe are you going to vote out before him?
I shouldn't say awful. He's just much.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's not like I don't. There's nothing that Philip has done. I mean, some of the way that he like talks to the women make me uncomfortable.
Correct.
Because it's very like dismissive and like in their face. But beyond like that's just like ick. Beyond that, like he's not mean. He's just people just don't want to be around him. Yeah. So get him out of there.
Yeah. And so the vibes are bad. And Christina takes this moment to be like, so the idol's in play tonight? And I think it was Natalie goes, I'm sorry?
Yeah, what is her upside here?
Why do you ask about this? I think she was trying to create divisions within that group.
I did a bad job of it.
Because she still, I think she saddled herself to Philip a little bit and wants to not immediately throw him under the bus. Which I think was her best move, to throw him under the bus.
Yeah, I agree.
But
or go to Andrea, go to any of the other girls and go, first of all, let's get Philip out of here because we hate him. Mm-hmm. Who cares? Like, we have the numbers. If all the girls vote for Philip, he's going home no matter what.
Yeah.
Well, unless he has the idol. And, hey, what happens when I'm gone? What happens when Philip's gone? Who's next? Pull on that thread.
So then Natalie goes immediately to the big group and says, hey, she's asking about idol stuff. She may have the idol. What do we want to do about this? And Rob goes, yeah, we'd have to play like she has it. So we split the vote again.
Smartest thing he could do to hide that he has it.
Yep. Oh, it was great. The zoom in on his face. I'm like, I know that by this point, everyone is so numb to it, but if I was looking at that camera and going, you tilted ever so slightly to Rob here. What's going on here? Yeah.
There's no way they're catching that shit.
No one's catching it.
Especially because there's multiple cameras on every group conversation.
24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Rob talks this through with Grant, and Grant's like, hey, I would feel a lot better if Philip is gone. Everyone thinks Philip's a loose cannon. I don't think we can keep him around.
He's also not been amazing in the challenges. He's been okay.
Yeah.
And he needs to be performing way better for it to be worth keeping him around.
And Rob has this moment of, well, yeah, it's conceivable somebody might flip on me because I'm trying to ram this through. And
why are you doing it? He vocalizes that it could put him in a dangerous spot and still does it.
Mm-hmm. Live by the bully pulpit, die by the bully pulpit.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Even with your own alliance, I think it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Philip, being Philip, goes and asks for the plan, and Rob goes, it's obvious, it's Christina. And Philip was so butthurt about this. Because he's like, he didn't, he's not a man of his word.
Gets over it real quickly.
I got to be ready to make a big move at Tribal.
I'm on it. Like, why did they keep that in? Like, I'm a little confused because it's leading up. It's telling us and I don't need every single thing in an episode to foreshadow something that's coming. But that one is so obviously there for foreshadowing that then does not come to fruition.
No, I love it, Jared. Show this man has a great plan and he's ready to execute. What? My alliance member is trying to throw me under the bus?
And also, who was the vote that you wanted, Philip?
That's the good question. He never gave a name.
No, no, at least not to us.
He was, yeah, it's true. He was trying to push through saving Christina and having no better option.
It has to be Andrea, right? Like, that's the only thing
that's
I can think
of. That's
the
only move you got to do, but he never puts that name out there.
Yeah, okay.
So, nothing. Andrea, despite starting the episode in probably a bad spot, not even this episode, the last episode.
Yeah.
Is suddenly nowhere to be found in these conversations.
She disappeared into the bushes. She was gone the entire episode.
Honestly, not a bad move.
No, not at all.
She did what Christina should have done.
Agreed.
We go to Tribal, unless you have anything else to say.
Oh, I have things to say, but about Tribal.
Great. Well, just go. Just say what you want to say, Jared.
Well, no. Can you read off what... Everything before Philip talks doesn't matter because, like, Grant says everyone's easy to get along with. Obviously, that's not true, but it is what you should say, so mm-hmm, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Christina kind of throws Philip under the bus because Jeff asks who should be the vote, and she says...
Yeah, we need to think who is the weak link, and...
Jeff asks her to find weak link, well, which is the right thing for him to do.
Yeah, Philip is pretty disruptive, and he makes camp life a little hard. Well, Jeff, I'm a doer, says Philip.
Go through the whole list. Do you have it?
Yeah, he goes on a little bit of a rant of him being a doer, and I get up, I do things, and Christina doesn't do as much, and Christina's like, I do as much as you do, and he immediately snaps back, yeah, for the last 3 days, but before that, no, absolutely not. I have always lived the shepherd stamp. I am one of 12 children to a mother who died too early. I joined the army, had an honorable discharge.
Or he worked his way through high school. So I think
I missed that one.
Yeah, he was saying like, I he's probably saying he supported his family working a job while going to high school is my assumption.
I joined the army, honorable discharge. I was in field sanitation, which is not a glamorous job, but I did it, and I got through it, and I received the second highest honor that
during
you can get
time.
During peacetime.
Second highest medal. I did Google what's the second highest medal you can get in the Army during peacetime, and the first thing that came up was a thing from the Straight Dope message board from 2011. A reality show contestant keeps saying that he earned the second highest award the Army issues during peacetime, apparently for digging latrines. What is the second highest award in the Army during peacetime? Next comment. Just for the record, I have no idea, but I'm so glad you've asked. That individual is many bricks short of a load. The next comment. I think the soldier's medal is given for bravery when not engaged in combat.
There you go.
The next comment, being a federal agent above and beyond the normal psychoticness, he would have gotten the highest award if he didn't suffer dry mouth.
Okay, stop reading.
Wait, no, sorry. There's the soldier medal is the highest during peacetime. The second highest meritorious service medal is what they think it is.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's an insane rant.
That's a pretty insane rant.
That's
I should say all of the things are good and are things that you should be proud of, but to go on this rant in the middle of nowhere,
it's about time and place and tone, not about the substance. Although there was one thing.
This is your final tribal council speech. This isn't your I'm trying to not look bad speech.
There I don't know a ton about the Army, so if I'm sticking my foot in my mouth here, please forgive me. Honorable discharge would mean that he probably didn't serve through his term. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And it's an honorable meaning it's one that was outside of his control or within service or, you know, it wasn't for being arrested. It wasn't for bad behavior. It was for something that
your body can't do this anymore.
Yeah. Or your mind.
Sure.
And I want to know what happened. And, like, not if it's something, like, deeply traumatic, but, like, I don't know, man. There's just so many red flags with this guy that I'm like, what in the process of being in field sanitation during peacetime would cause you to be honorably discharged?
I mean, like you said, it could be anything.
It could be.
You could get injured and people are like, oh, you're not fit to serve anymore. Or you're not
fit to do... If it's literally digging latrines, it could be your back, you know?
You're not fit to do this anymore, so we don't have another position for you. You need to go home.
Or he's a complete psycho. I don't know. I don't want to ascribe that to him, but there's just so much about Philip, man.
Yeah.
It's insane. Everything about this is insane. And the lore drops are insane.
Christina tries to dig herself out here and say, I was on the wrong side of the numbers early on, and I want to give them the opportunity to trust me, because they don't right now, but I feel like I can be a trustworthy number for them. They just got to give me a chance.
Yeah. Then that's...
It's fine.
It's fine. It's kind of weak. I think she probably should have thrown Philip under the bus more at that point, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Been like, do you really want to hang out with him for three more days?
You have a choice, me or him.
Also, what's going on with her arms? I asked you when we're recording, so I know it's like, or when we were watching, so I know it's hypothetical, but like, it seems like either like really bad sunburn or something that's down the majority of both arms that's like peeling away her skin, and like on her forearm, it looked green.
It's probably sunburn with a combination of you're laying on like wood.
That's a good point.
Like, you could just be, some of the, like, sap could be dyeing your leg. I had a pen explode in my pants on Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah. And my thigh is still blue.
Okay.
And I'm a little upset about it.
Your blue dabba dee dabba da.
I quoted, what's the Arrested Development line?
I blew myself.
I blew myself.
Yeah.
I blew myself.
God damn it. I love that show. I want to just finish. I want to say one last thing about my rant on Philip there.
Go on.
I don't want to be disrespectful. I mean no disrespect to Philip the human, anything he did or his life. It sounds like it might have been a very hard life. I don't mean to insinuate anything like overly negative about him. Just everything he says, I have so many questions.
I think he has done many honorable things. It's the presentation that it's getting us.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just, I don't like to wildly speculate about people's lives, especially not like their mental, like what they got going on upstairs. But he forces the question sometimes with me.
Sometimes you gotta ask.
And I'm sure that a lot of America was thinking similar things to what I'm saying, to be honest.
All right, your protagonist. Oh, sorry.
Wait, with Steven.
It was a sure thing at this point. Christina is voted out on a 4-3 line. They did split the vote, and both Christina and Philip went against each other here.
Oh, and this tribal is happening in a monsoon.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the vote, Jeff is screaming over the storm to talk to them.
He is.
I feel so bad for Matt, and then Christina when she gets there.
No, Matt's in it, like, at least could be in whatever shelter they could throw together. Christina had to walk her way through that.
True. Yeah. I wonder if the shelter in Redemption Island has a tarp on it. I hope so.
I don't know.
Because they don't have the body heat of the other person.
Yeah.
They deserve a little bit of something. I don't know. But yeah, Christina goes home.
Your protagonist of the episode.
Sorry, Christina goes to Redemption Island.
Exactly.
Ugh. Who is my protagonist of this episode? I guess it's Boston Rob.
Sure.
I mean, he finds the idol. He dictates the vote. He puppeteers Philip. That's the biggest thing, I guess.
Yeah, you could go Boston Rob. You could go Ralph a little bit.
Yeah, but we don't get a ton. Like, we get the moment.
Yeah.
But then he kind of disappears because that tribe doesn't go to tribal. We get little bits of them, but it's not the most important thing in the episode, I don't feel like.
All right.
It is funny. Christina's, like, post-vote-out confessional is in the shelter at Redemption Island, meaning she's laying right next to Matt and going like, yeah, I gotta just like, gotta tough up and beat Matt.
You're gonna what?
Laying right there.
Yeah, what are you doing? Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Anything else you want to say?
Nah, man. I'm having a ball with this season so far.
I'm having fun too.
But here's the thing. The debt of Philip and of the Redemption Island mechanics are building every episode.
Mm-hmm.
of the not having the full layout of how that works. Redemption Island, not Philip. I don't think we'll ever have the full layout of how that works. But that debt will come due, and we'll see what that looks like and how they make that work. Because if it literally is just as simple as we keep sending people to Redemption Island until the merge, and then whoever wins that duel is back in the game, and then we scrap Redemption Island, it's going to be kind of unfulfilling.
Mm.
But I like the cast so far.
Great. Well, then let's shut it down, get you one episode closer to whatever's going to happen.
Yeah.
Bumper. That'll do it for this episode of the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast. Darren, what do you want to promote today?
If you're in the Chicagoland area, Black Cat Theater, we're putting on a staged reading of a new work from a Jeff Award-winning playwright that we helped build or helped them write, called Church Hurt. It's about, they are also somebody that grew up in evangelical background, and so it's someone coming back to their hometown church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's good. It's still, I don't know what it's going to look like because the script's not done. The first draft was done. They're going to make a bunch of tweaks. It will be, February 16th and March something. Check out our Instagram, Black Cat Theater Chai. The dates are on there and nice. The tickets. It's technically you can see it for free. It's I think $10 suggested donation or $5 suggested donation.
Hmm.
I should know this. What about you, Steven?
Things you can make in a blender.
Hmm.
Smoothies.
Mm-hmm.
Shakes.
Yep.
Soups. What was it? What? You can make soups in a blender.
You can. I don't know.
If you get them going long enough, they can get hot.
Yeah, that's the thing. Hot foods in a blender. I don't know. It's, I don't know about that.
Fair. I don't know. I got a blender that actually works, so I'm a little happy about it. I'm stepping back into the protein powder bandwagon.
I have a, what's the magic bullet? I have the tiny one for those shakes.
It also has that, so it can do both, which is nice. It can do full-size blender. It can do a single serving cup, but it also does food processor.
Okay. Yeah, it's a food prep step. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So.
You're an old man.
Blenders.
You're such an old man.
Blender. I don't feel like it.
What?
I don't feel like an old man.
Oh.
Not.
No, don't you? A little bit?
Sometimes. For my co-host Jared, this is Steven.
For my host Steven, this is Jared.
Get off my lawn! Goodbye.
Goodbye.